the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch cats from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't starve us out and you can't make us run, cause when them old boys raise on shotguns, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
To Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. So, a little tired this morning, but I'll see if I can work my way through this. I posted a couple, two or three links over there in the chat room. Actually, I posted one the other day that really kind of touched my heart. And so, this story been going around for some time out there about some children overseas, and you'd have to actually just go over there to the website and read up on what the deal is. But I saw this picture, little baby down there, this lady's giving this baby some water and some food, and then this baby's in really bad shape. And then about a year later, they got another updated picture of the same child. And it just really warmed my heart, touched my heart. Showed me, you know, that's what you can do when you got a little bit of love in your heart and you want to try to make things right in the world. I don't know who this lady is in this picture, but I think she's a godsend. As far as I'm concerned, she did something wonderful. And I wish that would happen more often. I wish there was a whole lot more of her around. You know, it's a sad story, but at the end, it's a happy story. And so with that said, that's one of the reasons why Mad Science does what we do here. It's trying to make this world a better place, trying to ensure that these things never have to happen. And, you know, if there's an unfortunate circumstance where they do happen, then there's somebody in place that can help out and make it right. Anyway, moving on to Mad Science. I posted a couple links in there. Most of which are guys building some little pulse motors, but the craftsmanship of this, of what he's built right here, is just pretty impressive. There's a lot of wonderful people out there with a lot of skills. I'm gonna try and get all those kind of folks to the table to build things, you know. And time I come across one of these, this has to do with alternative energy, you know, redesigning different types of motors and stuff like that. But I think what really caught my eye most was the quality of this work. It was just amazing. Anyway, the last video I posted down there was from Tin Man Power, and he's working on he's got a 2.5 horse motor, and he's got one of the direct drive washing machine motors, and essentially he's gonna use that motor to turn the generator to produce hydrogen that he can run the motor with the hydrogen, which is a brilliant concept. If you really sit down and think about it, you know, they got some really good hydrogen machines out there that run off about 220 volts, I believe. Some of them probably run off less than that. It just depends on whether they're using rectified current inside. But nonetheless, if you have to brute force hydrogen and oxygen separation, and you can actually use something the size of a 2.5 horse motor or above or whatever to, you know, turn a generator that actually, you know, pushes out a high voltage AC, and then you rectify that into high voltage DC, and you can track water on demand and then turn around and run that motor, I'd say that's one heck of a start. And so, you know, with that said, there's so many possibilities that we have at our disposal right now. The technology we have available, between all the different types of materials that we have available and all the different knowledge and basic science that goes into a lot of different alternative energy devices. What Tin Man Power is doing over there, if he manages to be able to crack water and run the same engine that he's using to crack the water off of the hydrogen, then that's just another, as far as I'm concerned, another confirmation of hydrogen and water being the best fuel out there, best fuel source. So you can imagine, if he could do this in his garage, what we could actually do if we came together in a really good machine shop with a lot of different people who knew enough about each and every aspect of whatever subject we were working on. Stephen posted in a link for aid worker Anja Ringling Levin. I can't pronounce that very good. Maybe it's Anna. Maybe the J is silent. Anyway, yeah, that might. Oh, okay, that's probably, yeah, that is. That's a the aid worker from the, let me click on that. Starving toddler. Yep, that's the one. Viral photo thriving after rescue. That's, man, I don't even know what to say other than that's like a walking miracle, man. I'm going to bookmark that. Folks, I know when you're listening in, it's kind of hard for you to understand what it is that trying to explain, but if you just seen this photo and heard this story, it's pretty amazing. It's he's 2 years old, Nigerian boy. Helped by a Danish aid worker. There ain't nothing that we can't accomplish if we actually work together. That's, you know, stories like this, it's sad and it's happy all in the same shot. It's sad that society would allow a child to get into that condition. And if you go read the reasonings behind why over there in that particular area that they allowed the child to get in that particular condition. Yeah, I'm pretty wore out. Been a long night, Stephen. Thanks. And so, for our world to have to, I say have to see things like this, it just shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. We're sitting in the year 2017. We got everything we need to resolve all these issues out here. Everything from homelessness to starvation to, you know, there's no reason for anybody to do without. But you can see the difference in the photos from what the child looked like to what the child looked like a little time later. That's a big difference. That's a big miracle. And my heart goes out to that lady that did that. The organization that made it possible for her to get there. However it came to be that she was able to save that baby. It's a wonderful thing. And so I posted links over there, and Stephen posted links in there too. So if you want to go read up on the story and everything, that would be wonderful. I think it'll touch your heart like it did mine. You know, I love people who love people enough to go out and get involved and help things get worked out. So this alternative energy deal that I'm talking about to you all the time about, it's not just about, you know, not having to pay a light bill. It's also about bringing the luxuries of life that most of us are fortunate enough to enjoy, who live in, you know, major countries that are, you know, industrial superpowers or whatever you want to call them. I would like to see everyone out there who wanted the opportunity to enjoy these luxuries, fresh water and air conditioning or heating and, you know, a clean place to cook their food and that stuff. I'd love to see everybody on this planet be able to enjoy this, to have access to this. You know, we've allowed governments and companies in this world to just kind of run amok, you know. And in the process of doing that, some of the people, our own brothers and sisters around the world, seem to fall through the cracks of society, and it saddens my heart to see that kind of stuff. That story in itself, that one story, that's a story of hope. That's a story that, you know, when I first saw that picture spoke volumes. It spoke to me loud and clear in my heart. I do what I do here on Mad Science, even though sometimes it's frustrating and sometimes there's ups and downs. And, you know, I get to a point where I feel like I'd rather up and walk away from it all. But I think that my little piece of the puzzle that I got to offer to the world, my understanding of how things work and being able to try to put it all together into a working device that'll help benefit to not only keep our environment clean, but allow everybody to live in the luxuries to where we have the comforts that we, us who are fortunate enough to be able to enjoy, are accustomed to. And so, I want this for the whole world. You know, I want this for everybody. Sitting there looking at that picture, and I'm, man, gonna have to share that story. Share that story with your friends and family out there. Show them what can be done. So I'm trying to resolve a deal and keep my word to the power company. I want to share with all the people out there the alternatives to paying and basically living like a slave to the power company. You want to live in the luxury of air conditioning and heating and cooling and have a place to put your food to keep it fresh and that kind of stuff, refrigerators or freezers. You know, on one hand, government sits there and complains about we're supposedly have this climate problem, you know. And then you've got people out there protesting, burning down their own communities over, you know, climate or whatever. All kinds of craziness. A protest. Some folks will protest anything. But instead of getting together and working on solutions, see, as far as I'm concerned, that lady in that picture, she is the solution. And everyone else out there like her is the solution. She physically went there and she physically helped this baby and got him up to it. Now the little boy's wearing some really nice looking clothes in this picture. Got a little backpack on. He's healthy. Got some weight on him. That's a miracle, folks. That's why I do what I do. Because where I don't have the finances or the resources to be able to travel thousands of miles to a foreign country or whatever to help people out, I try to do my little piece right over here with what I know and what I can work with, and that's alternative energy. I'm trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together to empower people, you know? Imagine if you didn't have to pay an electric bill anymore. Imagine if you had that extra money that you could either take that money and save it up and go over there and help some folks out and take them some designs and build them water treatment systems and stuff like that. Or you all band together and did the same. Go over in a group and just start helping people out. You know, not everybody's called to go clear across the world to another country and do things like that, but there are those out there, I feel, that their calling is just that. Their heart's in the right place, and, you know, sometimes these aid workers, they'll go into the heart of danger just to try to save somebody, some child or anybody. There's a lot of good people in this world, folks. We need to support those good people. We need to support one another. I don't know which charity out there is the right one or which one's the wrong one. You got to do some research on that. I'm just one man. I don't know everything there is to know. But what I do know is I'm willing to share all the ideas that I got in my mind. I'm willing to put them down on the table in hopes that these ideas will make a difference someday. That things like 10-man power over there doing, you know, making hydrogen. I look at that design and I think, you know, that's brilliant. You know, they when you plug these other hydrogen generators in, they're always hollering about it takes too much, amperage, takes too much doing the electrolysis process. Never mind the fact that back in the 70s, late 70s, Stan Meyer was riding around the dune buggy that was running on water, using specialized injectors for his system. Radio frequencies, cracking the doggone water on demand, and being able to drive that thing around without polluting the planet. There's a lot of hypocrisy that goes on when it comes to alternative energy. A lot of trolling goes on too. It's a shame. See, I can understand why that video went viral. That picture went viral. I can understand. I can see it. I stumbled across it yesterday. I had no idea until it was the day before yesterday. I can't even remember. I'm getting old. But I posted a copy of the picture out there, a message to the world. It's just, I want people to understand that there are so many different ways that you can make a difference. You know, my little piece of the puzzle, it doesn't even scratch the surface of what we could accomplish if we got together. It doesn't scratch the surface of the talents that's out there. I'm nothing spectacular. I'm just a guy with a lot of ideas. I see these alternative energy devices out there, and I look at them, and I see potential, and I can see mechanically what's happening and what could be going on there. Imagine a perfect efficient motor engine running that has absolutely no wasted energy because it's all focused where you want it to be. And you're using the torque and the horsepower that's able to be generated by this particular engine to turn a generator, even if you're having to use a lot of amperage. They got 100 amp alternators out there. That ain't enough to crack water, to nothing is. They've got bigger alternators than that. If you can turn that alternator and you can actually produce enough energy not only to light up the lights on the vehicle and, you know, crack water at the same time, then that's almost like a self-looping system. I know the terminology ain't right, and I know somebody sat around and argued about, oh, that's not self-looping, you know. Well, regardless, if you're using water as your fuel, and you're conditioning the water with the power that the engine's actually creating while you're running it, not to mention the heat that's being generated that you could recirculate for, you know, heating and stuff, then that seems to me like the simplest solution to all of this stuff. We got technology now, solid state deals that we can actually tune multiple different frequencies, that all you got to do is find the right frequency and you can vibrate water apart and separate the hydrogen and oxygen on demand and burn it. You don't even have to store any gas. So with that said, as far as all the alternative energy devices out there, hydrogen technology is the holy grail. That's not the only one. I mean, there's tons of different things. Everything from what we were talking about by using waste radioactive material to, you know, it's going to sit there and deplete anyway, so why not grab some energy off of it and make it useful? Use the energy created off of the doggone wasted fuel to keep the fuel cold, you know, help speed up the process of depleting it by draining energy away from it. Guide that energy where you want it to go. That's the whole thing. You don't even have to defy any of the known laws of physics to do it. We're just talking pure common sense. It's kind of like putting a battery in your flashlight. That once you put that battery in, turn it on the flashlight, your light's going to be on, and it's going to drain that battery down. It's taking energy, moving it back over, leveling that battery out. Pretty soon your flashlight ain't working. So, same thing could apply with any energy source out there. You want to take that energy, instead of it, you know, dumping off somewhere else, and send it where you want it to go. I mean, they say NASA did it. Sent a probe clear to Pluto. 9 years out in space and still producing 200 watts of power. So as far as I'm concerned, that's free energy as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't know what the, like I said, I was trying to get somebody to calculate up the deadline. How long does something have to run to be classified as free energy? How long does something have to run to be classified self-looping? You could use the temperature difference outside and the temperature difference inside your vehicle to build up moisture like a dehumidifier does. Drain that moisture right down into your fuel tank. Pump that water up into the system that's going to condition and crack your fuel, run it as fuel, condense the exhaust and run that back down into your fuel tank. So you're pulling water out of the air, you're pulling water out of your exhaust, and you're putting it all back down into the system and recirculating. So to me, it's a no-brainer. Now to the oil industry and the power companies, that might just be a little bit of a threat. So you can see why they wouldn't want certain designs or ideas out there on the market. You know, and governments might classify this type of information as a national security threat. Because that'll ruin our economy, is what they say. It ain't going to ruin your economy. It's just going to take the change to put the money out there available for everybody as opposed to just the few. Mad science isn't just about, you know, machines and materials and ideas of, you know, alternative energy. I got folks that really get frustrated with me because they say, hey, sometimes I'm too political, you know. But where did it all stem from, this anger and frustration that pisses you off and makes you want to call it mad science? Government said they had a need. Said the world was in danger. They said there was an energy crisis, and we need to get energy efficient. We need to be self-sufficient. The government's told us that in all of our nations. We can't be relying on other countries for what they classify as fossil fuel. So that came down from the government. So that has its place here on Mad Science, because don't tell me you got a need and then I show you an idea on how to address that need and you just let it go by the wayside and keep on complaining about the same doggone thing that you were complaining about to begin with that got me started. So the science is there. All the basic science is there. It says it's science fiction. This is science fact. It's all proven technology. You know, we were running things on steam for a long time. At least a couple hundred years. And so with that said, it's just another way for politicians to find themselves being elected, you know. Sure, I can get elected. I'll tell everybody I'll save the planet. And all the green people will vote for me. Tell them there's a need. I can collect taxes. We can charge people carbon taxes. Where's that money going? If it ain't going into research to solve the problem, then you're just paying somebody money to wait around for doomsday. I mean, seriously, where's it going? So anybody calling, putting it out on the deal and say, look, we're collecting up all these carbon taxes, and we're going to offer big, huge grants to any researchers that can resolve this issue. No, it ain't going like that. No, they got actually an exchange, a carbon exchange, where if you need to make more crud coming out of your exhaust pipe, instead of getting fined for it, you can actually buy carbon taxes or carbon credits or something like that. Does that not sound like a scam to you? It is a scam. Now, I know there's a lot of environmentalist protesters out there. I wish I could sit down and talk to them, honestly. Wish they'd sit down and listen to me. Because I tell them how to win this war. And that's exactly what it is a war. It's a war on information. It's a war on freedom and finance. You know, I think the world is being destroyed by certain things, and you show them there's a way to resolve this so that everybody can benefit. Even factories and automobile industries and stuff would benefit from this type of knowledge, this type of technology. You gotta drag them kicking and screaming across the finish line. But nonetheless, it's still there. It's been there. There's a document out there. Don't know exactly where it was. I had it bookmarked at one point, but it's a government document talking about how by 2016 or something like that, that the U.S. Navy was gonna start running their ships on hydrogen technology. That's brilliant, man. You're floating on your fuel. Well, think about that. If they're going to be able to do that on a huge scale, such as an aircraft carrier or fast frigate or destroyer class or whatever, and you ought to be able to do that in your car as well. It's not rocket science. People have known about hydrogen technology forever and a day. They just try to figure out safer ways to separate the oxygen and hydrogen without having to store, you know, and ways of storing, even if you had to store it in fuel cells that wouldn't cause a catastrophic explosion like the Hindenburg. The Hindenburg, for those of you who don't recall history, look it up. It's essentially what they used to call a Zeppelin. Big old giant blimp you could ride around in it. They called that the future of travel. You know, future of flight. So they're floating around because the hydrogen is lighter than the air outside, that it would give them a lot of lift. They filled these huge bags up with hydrogen and flew around in it. Found out later on in life helium is a lot safer. So they switched over to helium. But nonetheless, one catastrophic occurrence in history, according to what we've been told, and this thing went up like a firecracker, like a ball of flame. That gave everybody paranoia about the whole hydrogen technology. Go back to look in time and see how they produced it back then. Look at the technology. If they had the hydrogen technology back then they got it now. And with what we've got about the machineries that we got, the precision milling and CNC machines and stuff that can just, the computer, you draw it out on the computer and it draws it out in the metal or whatever material you want to use. The MOSFETs and transistors and IC circuits and all the different electronics that we have access to now. I got a signal generator that goes from the 0 hertz range all the way up into the megahertz range and then some. And so, knowing a little bit about radio frequencies, you can hook that thing up to different coils of wire and you can get wireless energy transfer just from the frequency going through that thing. and speed it up and slow it down. We got technology to make some really advanced machinery and to take some really large leaps in society. And I've seen a lot of different shows on TV where there were different societies and they would battle over food and resources and stuff. You know, they say life imitates art, and if you're seeing that on TV in these movies where people just like trying to kill each other or neglect each other or hurt each other, you got people doing without in the world that we got. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense to me. So I study up alternative energy, and I've come to the conclusion in my quest for free energy that if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. It's out there. It's everywhere. We're surrounded in a sea of energy. You got the makings of fuel right out of the doggone air. A dehumidifier takes moisture out of the air. Cuts down the humidity. Keeps your brooms and stuff from getting moldy and mildewed. It makes you more comfortable. You know, some people like a drier air than a humid climate. But if you live anywhere near a humid climate and there's moisture all up in the air all the time and you want to, you know, change the humidity, you run the humidifier and you'll notice that every so often you got to go down there and empty that pan out because the pan will overfill with water. So we know we have the technology literally to pull water right out of the air. Anywhere with a humid climate, even in a dry climate, you're still going to get some because of the temperature difference and because there's oxygen and hydrogen in the air. And so that's just one example of so many of what we could do. And if it brings a fresh bottle of water to a little baby like that overseas, my God, it sure is worth it as far as I'm concerned. Hope the guys like Tin Man over there keep on doing what they're doing. And I'm getting closer and closer to finishing up my nifty gizmo that I want to share with everybody. One of many. There's a whole lot more behind the scenes than meets the eye. I spend a lot of time putting a lot of videos on YouTube over there on the Shaziz Mad Science that show little bits and pieces of the puzzle. Not because I want to drag it out, but so that when you see these little things and you start to think about how static electricity is generated and, you know, a lot of different efficiencies and how you can literally pick radio waves up out of the air, and you start to put all these pieces of the puzzle together, what I could do with this mixed with that, and you start getting the picture. You start finding an understanding by the time it's all said and done, when the whole device is all put together, everybody understands how it works. The knowledge is out there. That was the whole purpose. Heck, I don't know where everybody is this morning. Usually somebody shows up for the Mad Science Show, but I got nobody on Skype, so if you're out to listen in out there, just add me as a friend on Skype if you want to join in on the conversation. But everything from hydrogen technology to plasma technology, old existing technology, we know things about steam and water expansion and heat and cool heat exchange systems. No reason why we can't literally design the perfect generating systems to produce power for everybody. And you can use the heat and the engine actually produced fresh water, you know, filter out water for people so they got clean drinking water. And these communities that are, you know, in what they classify as third world countries, I find that kind of, I don't know, I kind of find it offensive for somebody with intelligence to think that anybody would be any other class than, you know, the human class. Third world nations or whatever they want to call them, it's a ridiculousness. Military seem to have the power to amass huge armies. Got a bunch of well-dressed soldiers, well-fed, and got medicine in them and all that, and they can go over and fight with each other and kill each other. Take tons and tons of equipment, thousands of miles, to destroy. You can imagine what would happen if you did that in reverse. You took thousands and tons of equipment and instead of destroying, you go over there and build. I know that there's little pockets here and there of people that do things. But they need our help. Those folks out there that are actually trying to make a difference or are on the front lines of starvation and homelessness, they need our help. However we can figure out a way to gather people and keep the crooks out of the picture, you know? Don't need no doggone middleman. We need people like that lady right there to get involved. We need folks out there with love in their heart and knowledge in their head to come to the table. We need the dream team. I keep talking about the dream team. I keep saying it over and over and over again. I keep talking about the dream team. Bring those brilliant minds to the table. You give them access to tools and equipment. And they solve for you all the problems that have to do with the energy of this world. Of how we use it and making things right. As corporations out there right now and companies, huge companies, they've probably got things sitting on the shelf right now that are already ready to go for just such an emergency. But it's like the new LED lighting systems. You don't sell new LED lighting systems until you sell off all your old stock of incandescent light bulbs. You don't put the new iPhone on there that has the camera built in. You sell all the old ones first and then you put it out there. That's the way that works. But if there's an urgency out there like such as that, the world's coming to an end because of climate change or whatever, I don't believe it. Most of my listeners don't believe it because they're smart enough to know about basic science. But nonetheless, if the need is put on the table and you got people stepping forward to try to point out the solutions for this, how we can fix it, how we can be energy independent overnight, literally. Not that big of a deal, man. I've seen some, like these videos that I posted in there, this guy did these little pulse motors like that. It's not just the motors themselves that impress me, it's the craftsmanship in there. These things not only work good, they look good. It's like artistic stuff, you know? And there's a lot of people out there like that. You bring those craftsmen to the table. You bring the people who know how to draft and how to do CAD programs, 3D animations or whatever. And you bring all these brilliant minds to the table and you start building things. You just build them. Instead of trying to sell them out to the world right away. Show them to the world. Look, this is what we got. This is what we have access to. And I'm telling you, the people that want to buy them, the people that want to hide them, they'll come out of the woodworks. I think that's probably some of the reason why anybody in alternative energy, anytime you get close to anything that looks like it might work, then you get trolls come running out of there trying to pick it apart. And unfortunately, even in the alternative energy community itself, you got people out there who are inadvertently trying to hinder the process by telling you all these different negativities. Well, you can't do this because, you can't do that because. Well, if I'm sitting here watching it work and you're telling me it's not going to work because, then something's wrong. People can find a million and one reasons why not to do something. You know, the government ain't going to allow you to do it. The secret societies ain't going to allow you to do it. It's just like all this stuff going on out here in the world, all the different protests over everything under the sun. You know, and freedom in general. We can't do nothing because the government will get us. Go watch that video about the dots again. Common sense in a little cartoon. 9 billion people on the planet being run by a small percentage of lunatics. And everybody in fear to do things. Don't ask your government for permission to build things that's going to help feed your neighbor. Just do it. Somebody throws you in jail for trying to feed your neighbor, we'll figure out a way to get you bailed out. You like they did back in the old West and hook the wagons up to the bars and rip the wall down. Whatever it takes. I know I try to... I got a friend that gets mad because he thinks I oversimplify things. But... in my mind, I'm looking at it, it's a simple solution. Simple concept. Basic science. Proven science. It's the real deal. And I still have my credibility because I'm not trying to scam nobody. I'm not trying to sell nobody nothing. I'm just trying to show them, look, this is what you could do. Why do we have radioactive waste all over the planet? You know? If you got radioactive water leaking in the ocean out there from Fukushima, and it's still going on this very day. One of two things is either going on. Either we're fixing to get screwed of epic proportions when our oceans die off, or the government realizes that there isn't a problem. There's a guy out there that did a video called Nuclear Scare Scam. Look it up. Galen Windsor, Nuclear Scare Scam. Where he shows that nuclear power isn't as dangerous as people like to think it is. That the only danger is if you get the blue flash from these two materials coming in contact with each other. But if that's the truth, then the government's been screwing us ever since nuclear power plants came into existence. And if it's not, then either our government is insane or they just don't care. Because if our oceans are being polluted by highly radioactive water leaking out of a power plant, you know how water makes a big circle around the planet. You wonder why the weather's crazy? You heat up this side of the water, then you cause a reaction. Heat rises, cold falls, that kind of deal. You know, you change the temperature in the Gulf Stream, it changes the path of the Gulf Stream. You change the temperature in the jet stream, it changes the path of the jet stream. And you get strange weather patterns all over the world. You throw that on top of natural events like volcanoes and earthquakes and such. Shifting water around, shifting ice around, and Mother Nature's talking to you, shaking things up, not very happy about it. That's basic science, folks. 13-degree temperature difference in the Gulf Stream causes all kinds of crazy weather. It's not rocket science. It's basic science. Heat rises and cold falls. So if you're sending hot water into a cold water, you can understand that it's going to create a reaction. And so we need to find out, we need to get together, we need to get it all situated, we need to teach the so-called scientists of the world how to enact solutions, because apparently they don't get it or something. I don't understand. And if indeed they are truly spraying crud in the air, you have to understand that crud's going to come down somewhere. So come down, get on the ground, concentrate into certain areas, wipe out certain plant lives, or maybe even insects necessary for the food chain, you know, the birds that eat bugs and such. And so you tamper with nature to that extent, and you wonder why you got birds dropping out of the sky, fish going belly up, and so on. Take care of your planet, and your planet will take care of you. That's the way it works. The way it's supposed to work. We got the technology. We got the solutions out there. And I put a platform here called Shaziz Radio. Mad Science and Knights of the Round Table. So we can all come together and we can have discussions and share information with each other. But it's only as good as a good of a megaphone as the people out there will allow. If you like this show and you're out there on your social media network, just share it with your friends and sit down and have a talk with them about what are we talking about on here. See if they're interested. Send them over. Because you support me just by showing up. There's no sign in, no registration, no fee to be paid. There's no hat to be passed around. It's simple, just show up. It's that simple, just show up. Get involved, share some ideas, share some links, share some stories like this one in the chat room about the baby. Amazing what a year's difference of somebody loving and taking and nurturing a baby can do. I mean, when you look at that first picture of that baby, it's like, how can this be, you know? And there's people in the background walking around. There's other people walking around. And if this baby got into that condition out there and those folks are afraid of this baby for some, you know, what I read about it, essentially some of the parents out there thought these children were witches. Superstition, and they thought they were witches, and so they wouldn't take care of them. Which is sad. I mean, how could you do that to your own child? How could a community do that to a child? That's the difference between education. All of us sitting up here in this realm where we're at right now, we had access to schools and books and all that kind of stuff, and we got older and we realized certain things, you know, and we got wiser. But there's some folks that are way behind. We need to lift them back up so they can see what the heck we see and make better decisions and maybe have just a little bit more of a value of life. It don't make no sense. There shouldn't be any cases of any babies on this world being in that predicament. Shouldn't be any reason for anybody to be homeless. And there should be very, very little reasons for anybody to even be sick. We've got the technology to fix it all. We got the capability to do just that. So I'm shouting out here from my little part of the world, and I'm trying to pull the dream team together. I got ideas. I'll share my ideas with you. You share yours with me. Share your skills. I posted a link up there at the very tip top of the super chat room called Monarch Glass Studio. These are the folks that are making a made the glass for my plasma reactor that I'm putting together. And are just another piece of the puzzle out there. Some wonderful folks that have some really good talents and knowledge of glass work, and they do artistic work as well. If you have an opportunity to go over there and support their business, then you'll support me as well. I don't get no kickbacks from any of their work. We don't have no arrangement where I make any money if I send people over there. It's just that they did something for me and I'm doing something for them. I'm trying to tell the world about their company, because when they get better, they better equipment and their company does better, our communities do better. We got Revolution Green out there. He's out there doing alternative energy. We got RW Research. We got all these different networks and links that we post on there, and I'll post more. Maybe there's not all as organized as it could be, because I'm not a I'm not a webmaster, so to speak. Where, like my wife was asking me about decorating the house, and I'm like, sure ain't it. You sure you want my advice on home interior design? Yeah. Okay. So that one looks good to me, but that may not look good to you. Nonetheless, go out there and support these folks, you know. Support Shaziz Radio just by showing up, listening in, and sharing what you like with people. Get on the microphone and talk about ideas and solutions to people. That's what it's all about. That's what all these networks are about. Don't waste your time out there protesting the government. We the people have the power to solve all these problems. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. That's what we've been told. When there's a need, there's an invention. They told us there was a need for alternative energy, clean, renewable devices. We're here to give it to you. All we got to do is come together. It's that simple. The things that we could learn from each other, and the things that we could do to preserve nature and make this world so much better, are at our fingertips. I said, my friend Steve, which I haven't heard from him for a little bit, he says that we have the sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips, and he's so right. We do. My friend Dublin over there in Spain, he's talking about how guerrilla gardening, we could, he coined the phrase guerrilla charity and guerrilla gardening. You don't ask the government for permission. You run by hand somebody a sandwich, plant some seeds, and just keep on rolling. How are they going to stop 9 billion people from handing each other food and clothing, building each other shelters? This world's only this way because mankind chooses to allow it. We got so much. We have so many blessings. And I look out there at society and I see how everybody is. See how stressed out they are, how sick they are. The dramas. Heck, I even got dramas in my life. I don't like drama. I don't like people being violent or upset, afraid, and pissed off, or sad, or whatever. I mean, we're standing on what could potentially be a utopia. Literally, a heaven on earth. Got everything that we need, but it's so much, man. It's like, this financial system that we're enslaved by, it's nuts. It holds people back. Y'all learn how to work together and barter and trade and, hey, I got this skill that I learned. I'll come over and fix this for you, and you take your skill and you fix that for me, and heck, we'll both benefit. That's what it's all about. I don't want to sit around preaching to the choir. I want people to get off your couches, get out your house, go find somebody in need and help them out. Actually contemplated on one point in time becoming an ordained minister, because I believe in my faith. I thought, all these churches out there, they'll accept donations to the church, you know, they pay the light bill and all that kind of stuff, but my church would be a dump. It'd probably be the worst looking church in the state. Because I tell them, I said, look, I said, I'll pay the light bill out of my own pocket. I'll pay all the utilities and everything else like that. So if you want to donate to this church, go out there and do it the right way. Donate to the people. Hand it to them directly. Take them some food. Take them some clothing. Take them some medicine. Whatever they need. The needs of the people is what makes the church right. That's the way I see it. I don't know how the rest of the world sees it. You know, I don't need to have some big old megalithic building that is all beautiful and then decorated with gold and silver and fancy cloth and stuff. I don't need that. The real church is in the heart of man. The real love is actually going out there and helping your brothers and sisters. From your hand to theirs. It's that simple. So, I get on the Mad Science Show on Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central, or 11 a.m. Central. Then we all gather for the Knights of the Round Table, Sundays, 8 a.m. Central to 11 a.m. Central. I do a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week show. But that's a lot, man. A lot for one person. And you got research to do. So I think I'm gonna take a quick music break. It's been a long, long night. I got my plasma reactor just about ready. That'd be a little bit of technology that I can share with the world. It's just one of many nifty gizmos that I got to share. And so, for those of you who are interested, stay tuned, and I will be trying to get a video up onto the YouTube channel so you can see what it looks like when it's done and working and the explanation of it. And then maybe be able to work one out for yourself. So, help me find a dream team. Help me spread.
Can you hear me? Give my creation fly!
Aw, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, that's it. Could you describe the ruckus, sir? Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazazradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html and listen in and have a good conversation with folks out there. You know, a lot of these different designs and ideas that I keep talking about, you know, some folks out there, well, you know, well, why don't you take these ideas and why don't you patent them? Why don't you get rich and all that? Well, first off, the patent procedure here in the United States is a nightmare. It requires you to hire a patent attorney to do a patent search on different things to make sure that your patent doesn't infringe on anybody else's patent. And so what you end up with is a really expensive journey in order to try to protect your rights and be able to send something to market. Second all is that if you have a device that could even remotely appear to be damaging to the economy, such as for the industry of electricity or gasoline or any of the fuel sources out there, then you get attention that way. And it's not the attention that you want. In the process of all this, you also get bombarded with other people who think that your device is going to adversely affect their finances for some reason because they're selling something that may not be as good, or, you know, whatever. Could be a replacement for what they're actually trying to sell. So there's a kind of a movement out there to kind of buy up things and shelve them, or, you know, if I got a money making device, there are people out there willing to invest in it so that they can make a profit off of it. And so that's pretty much the whole deal. You get into a bee's nest whenever you start going through the patent process of everything. So if I had to write attorneys and the funding for all the patent process and a good draftsman and somebody who could work on a CAD program to draw up all the designs and make them to spec so that anybody that knows how to read blueprints could just build it. Well, I could make myself rich. I could make a bunch of other people rich in the process. And just merely by sitting around and designing stuff and selling these ideas and patents off to other people to work with, I could probably be a wealthy man, but I don't want to be a wealthy man. Crazy as that sounds, I don't want to be rich. You know, I'm not poor, I'm not rich. I live somewhere in a happy medium to where my needs and my family's needs are provided for. So I'm not looking to get wealthy. I'm looking to try and put some of this information out there for other people to take these ideas and run with them. You know, I got tons and tons of ideas. If somebody's sitting around giving you ideas and telling you, go out and make your fortune with it if you want. Go out there and help the world. Then, you know, it's kind of like this. Somebody had told me at one point in time, might have been Thomas, somebody said something about how you can offer to give something away for free, and people will shy away from it. They don't want it. It's free. It's, I don't know, something don't sound right, you know, or no thank you. You got folks out there right now complaining that the world's in a mess because of pollution. The Mad Science Show has given you all the answers to how you can resolve these issues, but it's going to require you guys to take the initiative to go out there and invest with one another and help one another to build things. But the ideas are free. The ideas have already been on the table. They were on the table before I came to the table. Just doing all the research out there in the search for free energy on my quest to stick it to the power company for the way they treated my family, I found out a lot of things. And so I put those little things on the table, and I add to that information out there. That's all I'm doing. And in the process, I'm working on my own personal projects, which I'm paying for out of my own personal pocket. And there's a reason why I do that. There's a reason why I don't have my hand out to everybody. Not asking for people to give me any money or invest anything in an idea. I'm going to prove the idea. If they like the idea, then they'll take and run with it. It's as simple as that. The Mad Science Show isn't just about science and material and alternative energy devices. It's about so much more. It's about that photo that you seen in there with that little baby and that lady giving that little baby some fresh water, and you see a year later the boy got some nice clothes on and a backpack and he's looking all healthy. That's what it's about for me. All this ideas that we got, I can't build everything I talk about. I don't have the finances. I don't have the resources to do it. I can build a little bit at a time and do the best I can with what materials I got to work with. And the rest of the people who want to come to the table, those are the other missing pieces of the puzzle, and together we can accomplish things. We can share our resources amongst each other. So you build these networks in your community. Find your mad scientist guy in your local neighborhood. I'm sure that every local neighborhood's got a mad scientist guy. And even the one you think might be nuts, you might want to pay a little bit closer attention to what he's showing you. Be surprised sometimes that brilliance gets passed over and mistaken for insanity. Then again, you might actually have some folks that are nuts. Looks like I lost Thomas. Huh. Well, we had somebody on the round table show. Or the Mad Science. Huh. Oh, well, maybe you'll call back, maybe you won't. Anyway, technology is available, resources are out there. There's a lot of materials that can be recycled that are good. There's a lot of things that could be repurposed. Let me type a message in. Do-do-do-do-do. This is bad for radio. Alright, so I don't always make people happy with the words coming out of my mouth. I just do the best I can with what I got. I don't know, guys. sometimes it gets so doggone frustrating trying to keep it all together. Sometimes you just get wore out. Sometimes you just gotta take a break.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me!
Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a life in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, this might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Mad Science Show. So what exactly is our mission here on the Mad Science Show? Well, I told the story about how I got in a fight with the power company, and I promised them that I was going to study everything that there is to know about alternative energy, and when I get that accomplished, share it with each and every one of their customers for free so that when their wallet gets thin, they'll have me to blame for it. That's one part of the equation. The other part of the equation is that the governments of the world and the people of the world said that there was a need to essentially save the planet and each other and get us on clean, renewable, sustainable energy, and so on. And so, what better way to help the world than to bring somebody to the table that has a good mechanical view on how things work and better ways to do things. And in the process of that, actually building a platform to get other people to that table to do the same exact thing with their skill sets. And Muddy said he's got his saws off. But nonetheless, this platform is only as good as the people willing to use it. So if you're listening in on the show and you like anything you've heard on any of the podcasts, share those podcasts with somebody. Share the links to the website so they can come over and visit, and we can talk about more ideas and get more solutions on the table. You know, I could focus in on one specific project on my own, and I can do things. I got one in the works right now. It's sitting right in front of me. And right now, it looks really good. And if it functions the way that I believe it will when it's finally finished and it doesn't leak, then I think the world will benefit from that technology. In the meantime, while I do my YouTube channel, I put out videos out there of other ideas out there, and I send ideas out over the airwaves to try to give people things to think about that maybe they can come up with an idea of their own. It's about basically throwing those positive pebbles and ideas out there for the world to literally come together and start building. Start creating. Now, one person can make a difference. One person isn't going to get it all resolved by themselves. You know, outside of divine intervention and some higher power stepping in to straighten out the world, it's up to us. It's up to each and every one of us to try to take our resources and all the gifts that we've been given. This planet's shaking and waking. It's like it's not happy with things, you know. And so, if you want to make this world a better place, it's going to be up to you and me and all of us together. You know, we clean our local streams out. We take care of the wildlife around us. We take care of our plants and our animals and each other, and we make the world a better place that way. And when you find out there's a need in a certain area, you do like that lady did in that picture. You go over there and you address that need firsthand if you can. Like I said, not everybody can afford to fly here and there. But to the organizations that made it possible for that lady, and the people behind the scenes that pitched in to make it possible for her to go over, and basically, as far as I'm concerned, make a miracle happen. That's the kind of networking skills that I've been talking about. And I'm sure we can all come to an agreement on that. Bring those pieces and put them on the table. We all sit there and put that picture together. Those two videos that I posted earlier weren't necessarily about the most amazing devices in the world. But what it was that got me was how well made they were. The craftsmanship. I'd love to have that man on the team. The dream team. Because his skills, he not only made the thing work, he made it look good as well. I mean, it's beautiful. It's got like some brass and some clear acrylic going on. Really finely crafted, and even in his coil windings, it's nice. And so when I see that, and I see all these different devices out there and mechanical possibilities of them, I don't just think about that one specific device. Sure, maybe it's not what people want to classify as free energy or over unity or zero point, but what it is that it's impressive. It has some work in science and physics going on. And by rearranging the way that we design our coil system, I honestly believe that we can literally build a version of an electric motor that will run on specifically high voltage alone. It doesn't require a lot of current flow. It's one of the reasons why I'm into static electricity, because I believe that static electricity can get a lot of work done. I've showed that in the last couple of videos that I did with static electricity. If you watch that Franklin Bell on my desk while that video is going on, you can see that that thing, there's a lot going on there. And even further back, there was one I put some water balloons inside a couple jugs, and I was using static electricity and made essentially a Franklin Bell style deal, but I had a magnet as the weight that was going back and forth, the pendulum. And as that thing's being attracted back and forth, the mass of that magnet slapping against the side of that jug is producing an acoustic wave, and it's actually causing vibration inside the water. Not to mention the fact that the magnetic field changing from north to south is actually causing the neodymium magnet spheres that are sitting in the bottom of it to rock back and forth as well. And so since science tells us voltage is pressure, we can get a lot of work done with pressure. We just got to be able to guide it where we want it. And instead of building electric motors to be so inefficient that need require a whole lot of current flow in order to be able to spin them to get the work done, then we use those other laws of physics that get overlooked because they don't seem to be powerful enough on their own. That video that I posted in there with 10 Man Power, generating from a 2.5 horse motor, of course he doesn't show you him running in there, this is a project in the works, but the concept is nonetheless the same. He's got a 2.5 horse motor, it's running a direct drive washing machine motor, and in some of his videos I saw that he does modify his coil systems and the windings in it, but from what I've seen personally, you shouldn't have to modify them at all. You're still going to get high voltage, you know, when you spin these things up. But if you're going to use the electrolysis process in order to separate the hydrogen and oxygen from the water, there's no reason why you can't do that with a system such as what he's doing. And you should be able to do it enough on demand where you could actually turn around and run that engine off of the fuel that you just separated in the water. Raymond got me one of these 1,000 volt rectifiers, which would be perfect for doing just that. You can take that high voltage AC coming out and rectify it into high voltage DC, run it into a hydrogen cell, and then turn that hydrogen cell into your fuel source for the generator. So, I have no idea what in tarnation is going on here. People calling in and hanging up. I don't get it. Well, let's see if I get muddy in here. Well, hello there.
Good morning.
Have you been listening in at all?
Oh, just since the music break.
Oh, well, I don't know. I keep losing Thomas for some reason.
Probably not his fault. Probably the internet.
Yeah, Honest Abe's used ISP service. Anyway, I just now got through talking about a project that 10 Man Power is working on, where he's got a 2.5 horse motor running one of those direct drive washing machine motors, and his idea is to produce hydrogen with that motor and then use that hydrogen to run the engine. What do you think of that concept?
I like Tin Man Power stuff there. He's pretty sharp. He lives over there where cultists used to live.
Well, imagine we build a perfect, perfectly efficient internal combustion engine that will literally run off of water. You know, we do it like Stan Myers did.
Yeah.
That's a rolling power plant right there. If it's got enough power to actually move that dune buggy around, then it has enough power to actually turn a generator head that would be producing electricity, you know, 10,000 watt generator head or something, you know. Maybe even a 12,000 watt. And so if you're using the generator, the power train of this to literally produce electricity, that you're in turn using that electricity, some of the electricity, to crack water, and then you have excess electricity, not to mention the heat from the engine itself that you could actually guide into to warming up the deal, that seems to me like the perfect power plant for every household out there. You could run the doggone house on hydrogen technology. And keep in mind, it's not the only technology available out there, but it's one of the, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Still the water engine, water burning engine, is a little bit outside my expertise. I kind of got to keep what I do for what I know I can accomplish on some things like that. If it's a bigger project where I'm going for the house, but something small like that,
yeah,
I got a few little weed eater motors out here I'd like to play with on that, and I'd have to put up a little bit of solar and stuff. And you know, I think the Chantilly gas type deal there, where you got two carbon rods down under the water.
Yeah.
And put that to like about three car batteries. That's why I figured good solar would do pretty good. You can get liters per second on that, and that's a gas that burns. And the output gas itself has carbon monoxide in it, but when burned, the offspring of that would be basically oxygen.
Well, nonetheless,
that
it's
would
just,
be awesome. It's and just that would another... burn. That would burn great. And see, a lot of the problems people have with trying to burn HHO is making enough HHO, and that takes a lot of power.
I'd
like to play with that. But on the other hand, what I would probably go for if I was trying to make something that would actually like run the refrigerator and maybe a washer or something like that is a Stirling engine. Not one like I built like the tin can Stirling engine, but one that has a regenerative displacer. And that would be a lot of steel wool. I mean, a lot of steel wool, because the size I want to make is about the size of my hot water heater. So that would be a lot of steel wool, and I could throw a log up under that thing. And I figure if I can get 5 horsepower, then that's enough to run the house. And only on what? Just a log? Now that's something I can handle.
There was a couple videos that were posted in the chat room about a couple days back. Looks like Tuesday, January 31st. But the guy had built a hydrogen cell that, from what I could see, was pretty doggone impressive. And it didn't take a lot of energy in order to be able to split the hydrogen. And you didn't have to worry about storage. That it was doing it on demand, and he shows in the video he's got a really good flame going on. And so I'm pretty positive that the frequency ranges that he's running this at are probably pretty close to the one Stan Myers was running them at. It's just a different looking device than the injectors that Stan Myers was actually using. But You know, I know that that seems to be high-tech to people, but it's really not as high-tech as it sounds. When you know the basic science of what water and, you know, the hydrogen and oxygen, what they can do, the capabilities. And so, if you know that there's multiple different ways to separate hydrogen and oxygen, it doesn't take a lot of power to produce hydrogen and oxygen on demand. You can do it with pressure, you can do it with heat, you can do it with frequency ranges. Seen so many different alternative energy researchers out there doing this kind of technology. They just don't seem to want to take it too far, or maybe somebody get involved to discourage them or whatever. Nonetheless, there's still people out there that are doing videos showing you how to modify an existing four-stroke engine to turn it into an air-compressed engine or a steam engine. And so, if you can start an engine up with air, you know that compressed air gets hot. Once those cylinders get up to operating temperature, then you could start injecting small bits of water in, which you may not even have to, because you know that that air compressor's probably got moisture in that airline that will start getting hot inside that cylinder. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And like Raymond talks about, the expansion of steam is multitudes times, you know, whatever you're putting in there, so you really don't need that much in there. And I've watched these videos where people are putting glass heads on top of regular Briggs & Stratton engines.
So I haven't seen those.
So that you can actually see the burn inside there. Yeah, they're doing slow motion videos. Just look it up, glass head on gasoline engine, and you can actually watch the burn in there, and you can literally see where fuel is literally being wasted. It's not getting a complete clean burn every time it fires. And when he was running it on alcohol, it looked like you had water inside of it, because the alcohol, where you were still getting a burn and it would still run the engine, the majority of the alcohol wasn't getting burned up. What it was doing is acting like a washing machine and cleaning down the heads inside the motor, cleaning down the cylinders.
That's also pretty cool for spark plug design, or for your water plug design. Yep. That Stan Myers was into.
So, essentially, the technology...
I bet it's more silicate, though.
Yes, they did it with plexiglass. It was done with plexiglass. Regular, acrylic...
Well, if they did that, they couldn't run it very long, that's for sure.
Well, they seemed to do pretty good until they got to the acetylene portion. The acetylene portion started heating and cracking it.
Ah.
But they still was able to run this thing, and, you know, it's got... You would have thought it would have blew the top off, but it didn't. They got, a big, thick piece of plexiglass on there, and they're... sitting there running this thing with different fuels in there. When they finally got up to running it off of oxygen and acetylene, then you could actually see where it was basically scorching and cracking the plastic on it. But the gasoline ran fine for a long time, and the alcohol ran fine, but you could see the difference in the fuel, and you could actually watch the burn process as a spark comes across. They're doing this in slow motion. You see the spark, and you see how the fuel ignites, and when the piston goes down, and the exhaust stroke and all that. You can watch the valves opening and closing. You could see inside that engine while it was running to get a better understanding of what's actually going on inside that motor. And to me, it's awesome that they did that. And there's other, not just one video out there, there's a couple different people that are actually doing these. Actually, if you scroll back in through the chat room, go back to previous messages, you'll run across those video links. And you can watch those motors. But what I liked about it was the fact that you can literally see the combustion process as it occurs. And so that tells me that what I've been talking about you know, using a engine as an air compressor first to compress the air and heat up the cylinder, and then begin to inject your fuel in small vaporized, you know, down to its smallest molecule, and be able to get a perfect burn on that every single time. What that video should have showed everybody out there in the mechanic world is how much fuel is actually being wasted in that process. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it must have been nice to be Superman with that X-ray vision. He didn't need the glass. He'd have made a heck of a scientist, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it would have been nice. He would have got things done. If he needed to go visit somebody's lab, he could have got there quick.
Heck, but he didn't even need a welder, did he?
Nope. Anyway, there's a lot of researchers out there. If we can get them all to the table and get things done, you know, I'm impatient when it comes to saving the world, but I'm not actually putting projects together. I've got, like I said, my plasma reactor is actually sitting right in front of me, and I need one more part to be manufactured for it, which I have a friend that's going to make one out of wood first, and then I'm going to try to use that particular piece to make a cast mold of aluminum and build the connector with aluminum. And I may end up having one made out of plastic as well, because aluminum might not be what I need in that particular area. But nonetheless, it's still a working prototype that once it's all said and done, I can show and prove the theories and explain to people what it is that I've been trying to show them as far as energy transfer and being able to get energy out of something and change it and use it more efficiently than you were before. You see what I mean?
Yep.
It's like that generator head, and knowing all the laws of physics and Lenz law and all that kind of stuff, and being able to take the energy you want off that generator and use it just like you did before, just with one step more, you change it to a different, completely different form, and then change it back down into usable current again. That doesn't defy any of the known laws of physics. It doesn't defy anything that you learned in electrical or electronics or anything. Auto industry, none of it. And so if we're burning what they classify as fossil fuels, and the fossil fuels are supposedly putting out CO2 into the air, it's all of our cars and our industries that are polluting the atmosphere, and you're standing here with a solution like this, a solution like Stan Myers or any of the other alternatives to whatever fuel that you're burning. Do you know that carbon-rich soils are really good for growing stuff in?
Oh, yeah.
So,
shoot, south, anywhere downwind of those coal plants, coal-burning electric plants, the trees grow. Lots of trees. There's more trees, and they're thicker and taller and healthier. And they worry about carbon in the atmosphere. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. The carbon tax is stupid.
Well, just think about if you got an exhaust and you
matter of fact, and not to interrupt, GM actually built an engine out of graphite. And it was, and the cool thing about that is if a piston wall got scarred, it was automatically healed by the carbon buildup. And, they said the engine would not wear out. That's why they decided not to make it.
Well, there you go.
But you talk about, you don't, I mean, you put a little graphite in, you know, for oil or whatever. But, you know, come on, man. It was a much cleaner burn, everything.
If you work the system right, if it was a stationary generator, you could actually build a filtration system that would utilize dirt as the filter. And the dirt would pick up the carbon, which you could, in turn, change out the dirt every so often and use that dirt for your garden. And you wouldn't have no crud in there. First off, the whole carbon getting up that high anyway is ridiculous. It violates basic laws of science. You know? Either they have been lying to us all these years, or they've been stupid all these years and just figured it out. I think it's contrary. You know, I think that there's technologies available right now that could be out there on the market, that could be ensuring that people in what they classify as third world countries would be able to afford and have clean water and heating and cooling and housing and all that. But because of greed and industry, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't some corporations out there that have some people with big hearts that are trying to donate to charity and try to do things positive for the community. What I'm talking about is, how long are we going to sit around and talk about the search for free energy when we've got it? It's already here. There's nobody on this planet will ever convince me that we have not found what we were looking for. There's nobody going to be able to convince me that there is no such thing as free energy. Now, an idiot will jump on here and tell me, well, it's not free energy because you got to do this or you got to pay for that.
Yeah, every time they talk, people talk, you try talking about free energy, everybody starts talking, oh, you didn't, you know, you can't destroy energy, you can't this, you can't give energy for free, you know, they don't realize that you're not talking about over unity. They keep getting it confused. Clean energy, renewable energy, free energy. That's pretty much what we talk about.
Well, when say, like, when's the last time you got a light bill from the sun? You know?
That's right. But they want to tax you on it. They want to tax you on the air you breathe. They want to tax you on the water that falls, and it's illegal to collect it. Yeah, come on, man.
We got the capability.
What was this? They started out 8 years ago saying, yeah, well, yeah, put up solar panels. We'll give you tax breaks. And now they want to tax you because you got solar panels. Yeah, so much for the tax break. That was just to get your feet wet and get you to spend your money for something that they could tax you for. It's nothing but a snare, a fish hook.
We got the capability.
I saw it coming. I thought it was coming. You know, back when they started talking about the, get you an SUV and they had the prices of fuel so cheap and everything, I saw that coming. I said, oh my goodness, everybody's got to have an SUV and a gas guzzler. And I said, yup them. I said, give it 2-3 years. And the gas will go up, and man, did it go up. It sure did. It's like, you know, you got to see what's coming by what's happening right now and what they're promoting. Whatever they're promoting, it's an indication to tell you what you need to prepare for.
Right now, we got the capability.
They're selling SUVs. It's time to get you a 4-cylinder. Let me take a break here. I'll be right back.
Right now, we have the capabilities to literally build self-contained cars. It's as simple as that. Cars that will, whenever you need your batteries charged up, you just go park at the shopping center and go shop, and the sun will charge it up, the wind will charge it up, the noise around you charge it up, the temperature outside charge it up. It's like, Stephen typed in world's fastest, what's that say? I can't even pronounce that. Indian film based on the true story of James, but Monroe was a New Zealand motorcycle racer famous for setting an under 1,000cc world record at Bonneville, 26th August 1967. This record still stands. Better by design. He designed and modeled his own piston heads. Yeah, see? Took some mechanical knowledge and made something work better. Ain't nothing stopping us from doing the same. If you know there's a flaw in the system, if you know the thing gets too hot, figure out why it's getting too hot. Focus that energy where it needs to be. You know? It only needs to be in the cylinder to cause the combustion. so you don't need it everywhere else. Yeah, sorry about butchering that. Sometimes my reading skills and my brain aren't functioning right, Stephen. Anyway, like I say, I call it mad science for a reason, because I'm sitting here, all like, I can see we got everything we need in order to make things happen, and still we hear about people suffering around the world, and gas prices, and high energy costs, and, you know, the last so-called president said, under my plan, we're going to bankrupt the coal industries, and your light bills are necessarily going to skyrocket, you know? And so he's sitting there essentially telling you he ain't going to do nothing for you. He's going to screw you over. And I don't know what the next guy is up there right now is going to accomplish, but I hope he accomplished something better than what we've seen prior. I mean, if I could have a little sit down with the new president and tell him the things that if he could hear these podcasts and hear what I'm talking about, maybe he could set some wheels in motion that would get us the research equipment necessary to prove what we're talking about. They say we need energy independence. They say we need clean, renewable, alternative green energy. And I'm sitting here telling them we got everything we need to do it. We just need people to come to the table and get in the shops and make it happen. You know, all these different researchers out there and all the different YouTube channels that are doing research and everything under the sun. And, so, we got all the science necessary. All the resources are available. Everything that is required to literally build the perfect generating system is at our fingertips. We're just sitting here looking at the building materials, and we're not doing it. You know, I'm going to do what I can do with the finances that I got. Like I said, you never seen me with my hand out here asking you for. I don't want nobody to donate or invest or anything like that. Your investment is your mind and your ideas and your skills. If you want to help build something with me, then that's a different story. But this process of proving free energy, I already know that free energy is real. I know it exists. I've seen it. I've watched it. And those with eyes that can pay attention and understand basic science already know what I'm talking about is reality. It's all based on real, provable science. Hydrogen technology, there's so many people that believe that there are so many drawbacks to it, they don't understand the concepts of what other people have done prior to make it work. And one man that I know of was riding his lawnmower using hydrogen technology. And he said the only problem you got to worry about is making sure you get your oxygen and your hydrogen mixtures right so that you don't get the engine too hot. Now, designed properly, you could build the perfect injector systems that would only send in the exact amount required to push the piston down. And so there is no waste. When I explain the workings of an internal combustion engine, some people don't really grasp it, but if you go look at those engines with the glass heads on there, and you physically watch what's going on in there, you'll understand then what I'm saying is those pistons are coming up and down so fast, they don't have enough time to burn up all that fuel. And so why are you cramming that much fuel in there? It's not necessary. All you're doing is wasting fuel, at least 60 to 80%. I'd probably even go as far as to say 90% of all the fuel in every single internal combustion engine on the market today, including the race cars, is being wasted.
I like them old hit-and-miss engines.
Well, you can probably make those a lot more efficient.
Yeah, those were very low RPM. And only fired when the RPM dropped enough where it figured it needed to speed up. Now they're basically a constant RPM engine is what they're regulated for. But when you started to take some of the power from it, that's when it fired, and that's only when it fired. In between, it was just sitting there spinning and hit another piston pop to get the RPM back up again every three or four strokes. I thought that was awesome. Well, I think having one of those would be pretty decent for a generator.
It'd be like the equivalents of the electric pulse motors that people were working on, you know? You only put in the energy when you need it, you know?
Yeah. I really want a hit in this engine. I'd like to build one someday.
Stephen Gibbons said...
Even if I make it out of wood like you.
Stephen Gibbons said if we build it, they will come. If we all build it, where will they go? To boldly go where no man has gone before. That's where they'll go, Stephen. That's what I got to say about that. But we should be so much further advanced than what we are right now. And I'm, you know, some folks are satisfied with where we're at. Some folks are satisfied with the results of NASA's research over these years, and I have no problem with it. But I'm asking the question, if NASA had the technology to send something 9 years through space, and after 9 years it still produced over 200 watts and was able to send a picture back from a planet that was so far away that looking back at the sun looked like a little dot in the sky, that's impressive technology. You could use that technology to solve all the world's energy crisis just using the doggone wasted fuel rod, the depleted uranium and all that, that are still depleting, they still releasing radiation. Buddy said he built it and they stole it. Oh man, what am I doing with you?
I did. I had a whole bunch of doggone what do you call them there? Mopeds. Pieced them together and finally got one running. They came.
And they stole it.
Yeah.
Well, at least somebody's benefiting from it, though.
Oh, they did for a little while, and then I went out there and I started weed eating my lawn with this nice can of gasoline that I went down to Amoco and bought their Amoco 2 stuff, which is basically racing fuel, and I stuck some weed eater oil in it and some mothballs. Instead of them riding by with a big smile on my face, as on my bike that they painted even the chrome in the headlight with black paint and smiling at me with their doggone shiny white teeth like, nyeh, 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 nyeh. Yep, so the whole group of them sit there and put the gas in their weed eaters and, I mean, in their bikes, and I got every one of them.
Huh.
So, not a problem, because they were all on foot after that, and as they walked by my property, I just smiled at them real big, let my pearly white shine back.
Huh.
I win.
Alright, well, I'm hoping the whole world will win.
I built two more after that, and they came. So, I stopped building. But that was Virginia.
So, I'm like, do you have any idea where Thomas went?
Internet land.
Yeah.
Fred's internet.
Alright, well, either way, we got the technology. And so, putting a call out there to the world, those of you who want to save the planet, then we got the answers if you want to hear them. We got the solutions. They're ready to go. For all the governments out there that basically want to, have energy independence, clean renewable energy like you guys keep talking about to get elected, I'm thinking it's probably time to put up or shut up, you know? If I can figure this kind of stuff out, and I'm sure that the science guys in the big labs can figure it out. And I'm not listening to none of the naysayers that try to say that there ain't no such thing as free energy, especially when the sun's still giving me a sunburn if I stay out there too long. And I know I can cook food with that sun. I can charge batteries with that sun. I get light so I ain't stubbing my toe in the dark with that sun. And according to science, it's been around for several billion years. 4 to 5 billion years is what they say. So for 4 to 5 billion years, the sun is producing energy, and nobody's been charged a bill from the sun. What I need to know is what it takes to classify something as free energy. A 300-mile-an-hour wind comes by and blows your house off the foundation. That's a whole lot of power. 5 and 6 and 7 megaton earthquake or whatever. What's it? It's on the Richter scale. Magnitude. That's what I was looking for.
Can I tell you about that hot box I made for on the job when I was doing drywall?
I think so.
Yeah. Basically, we had this foam insulation we were insulating the walls with. We just cut it to the width and stuff it in there, and cut it to the width and stuff it in there. And we were really happy because we didn't have to deal with that cotton candy looking stuff that itches you to death. So I took a sheet of that home and I lined it with foil. I used that spray glue from that you put the felt on pool tables, a 3M spray glue. Put that in, a couple of ceramic light fixtures, and stuck two bulbs in that thing. And one was a 50-watt and one was a 75-watt. And I had them both on the first day that we tried it. And people had it loaded up with fuel, with food. And the deal is, the lid started warping. We started smelling, it was getting a little hot. So I unscrewed the 75-watt bulb. And all the food was cooked, did fine by lunchtime. The next day we used just the 50 watt, and 9 o'clock at break time, or 9:15 at break time until 9:30, we sat there and loaded it up, and come noontime, everything was cooked wonderful on just a 50 watt bulb. And we got 50 watt solar panels, and I think I can keep them aimed at the sun for a couple hours, and I can build me another hot box. Now that wouldn't be it wouldn't be the same, what you call it, it wouldn't be the same solar oven that all these people do with just the reflection, but a 50 watt bulb can do some wonderful things.
Yeah.
And the solar panel's really not all that big. It's really not all that hard. I mean, you lay it right on top and you've got something about the size of a rather large cooler. And I think I think it's pretty neat. I've got some foam, just not enough to finish up the project. That's one of my next projects. I want to do that.
Well, there's a marketable idea right there, man. If somebody wanted to run with that, you could literally build a solar power easy bake oven.
You just kind of, you can't go off like an unguided ballistic missile. You can't go off like that. I see these people, they started collecting Fresnel lenses and then started trying to focus them on the water in the pool, and that's supposed to heat the water in the pool. For some reason, it didn't work. Because you got to look at the outside. Let's say you got a 4x8 sheet of plywood, okay? It takes up so much area. So you got a solar panel that big. All right, the deal is the total surface area is your collection, and it focuses down to one spot. So basically the one spot is hot, but the rest of the area underneath behind the solar Fresnel lens would be shading the pool. So you're doing nothing but swapping the heat that you would have collected over the full area and putting it down in one spot. You're not adding any power to it.
Well, no, there leads a little bit first.
I had a guy there who was trying to make a solar oven, but he figured he'd use a Fresnel lens. And he couldn't figure out why it didn't work. He might as well have just painted the barbecue grill black and set it out in the sun. And that would have gave him the same deal.
A little bit for people's design.
My deal is put a few solar panels to the side and put some light bulbs in that thing and insulate it. And he had a hot box that would have worked.
Yeah. And I'm not going back. Hello. All right, so that's okay. So literally, If you can cook with a light bulb, you already know you can cook with a light bulb. Anybody who's ever went up and touched even a 60-watt light bulb or even a 40-watt light bulb when it's been on, light bulbs waste a lot of heat. And so with that said, you can get a 40-watt light bulb or a 50-watt light bulb, even a 100-watt light bulb to run off of some of these solar panels. Sometimes directly off the solar panel.
Oh, exactly. I mean, let's put it this way. If you got a 12-volt solar panel, then you get a 12-volt 50-watt light bulb, but you got to find a solar panel that puts out 50 watts. If you got something that puts 75 watts, well, you better use a 75-watt bulb or the voltage is going to go higher. I'm saying? The resistance in the bulb is going to regulate what the voltage is going to be.
I'm heating
power in, power out. If you got them equal, you're going to find out that it's running 12 volts.
I'm heating my room right now with 450-watt light bulbs. It's heating my whole room.
Right.
And the heater that I bought initially had 375-watt light bulbs in there. And it was made to actually heat a whole lot larger space. But since I don't need to heat a whole lot larger space, I can take those 375 watts, which already burn out anyway, and they're like 11 to 15 bucks a piece or something like that.
Right.
I just go out and get some 150-watt light bulbs and screw them right down into the same exact socket, and I'm heating my room with it. That's how much light bulb heat will come off an incandescent light bulb.
Oh, shoot, you got them shop lamps, the 500-watt shop lamps. Now, those, it's just a straight little piece of tube glass with a heavy filament in the middle. And things get hot. I remember when I was casting aluminum ingots for Timmins Standard and Tandem. I worked up in the baghouse with the particulate matter and one of them radioactive suits and stuff. And I'll tell you what, now your gloves would still get wet. It's winter and it's cold. And first thing we did, we didn't really care about the light near as much as we did about putting our hands in front of that stupid light and watching the steam rise off and their hands would get hot. And then next thing you know, it's your turn to go back in and your hands would get cold. You come back out and you put your hands back out there in front of that light. Those incandescent bulbs are nothing but heaters with byproduct of light.
Yeah.
It's more heat energy wasted than it is light.
Well, and if you put those in these heaters like I'm talking about, then you essentially are using the light bulbs for doggone heating system. Stephen typed in there the Easy Bake Oven. For those folks listening in, they ain't familiar with an Easy Bake Oven. He said the Easy Bake Oven is a working toy oven with Kenner, which Kenner introduced in 1963, and which Hasbro still manufactured as of late April 2016. The original toy used an ordinary incandescent light bulb as a heat source. They used to make cakes in these things. They still sell them today.
Still, I wouldn't mind having a fresh baked cookie a couple times a day.
Yeah. But the point is, like we said a minute ago, the doggone light bulb's byproduct is heat. And so, you know, if you got lots of incandescent light bulbs, you got a lot of heat going on around there. And so why not focus that heat where you want it to go? You can still use the doggone light. Imagine building a thick-walled glass chamber where you could actually keep that heat contained in that chamber and then vent that heat out into the room. You'd still be able to see the light bulb. You'd still have light in your room. And that's another project for Monarch Glass down there. I'm going to have to talk to him about it. We'll build a doggone a combination lamp stove, man.
Hey, even those 250-watt tubes for work lights are pretty good. You can get 200-watt solar panels.
Imagine.
Basically run that into a battery and an inverter and cook away, man. That's free energy.
Imagine a doggone...
It only costs you for the apparatus after that. It ain't nothing but using the free energy from there out.
Imagine a glass stove that you could literally cook your food on top of and still have light to do it from the stove itself and be able to circulate that heat out into the room. Nothing gets wasted.
That's right.
So, Stephen said you could try adding an infrared bulb into the mix for heating your room. Yeah, that's another thing, too, is there's a lot of different bulbs out there, and even the black light bulbs, for like, you know, black light posters, those things get really hot.
Yep.
And so those heat lamps that you're talking about.
Red infrared lights, if they sit there and they warm the food, keep the food warm with. Now, put one of those inside a doghouse and stuck that bulb on the outside of that sucker. And I tell you what, them dogs stayed warm.
Yeah.
They'd go in and come back out, go in, come back out. I guess they needed a thermostat inside the box. I got a video on that. But Steve's winterized, I forget what the heck I called it there, but I had Steve's name in it, and that was my boss at the time. We made that sucker. Tell you what, that was a heck of a success.
Well, the whole point of all this, folks, is look, it's not that we don't have enough energy to go around, it's just that we don't use it properly. And hopefully these devices that I'm trying to share with people is going to show you a different means by which you can utilize the same amount of energy and get your money's worth out of it. You know, if you can heat water without having to use 1500 watts or more to heat your water, and keep in mind, when you're not using that hot water heater, it still kicks on and it still kicks off. It's got a thermostat in there that turns itself on and off whenever the temperature of that water gets down to a certain degrees. And so if you've got a system that will heat that water when you need it but not be turning itself on all doggone day long, or at the very least uses less energy and runs all day long but you still uses less energy than the other system kicking on and off, then it's going to be, at the very least, more energy efficient, throwing more pennies back in your bucket. And so, if you got all these systems, such as the LED lighting, which I'm happy to see is getting actually cheaper nowadays. It's actually out at Walmart, and I've seen that some of these bulbs that say they'll last for 15 years, they're getting down to where they're actually affordable now. As that's exciting to me. It's also disturbing at the same time, because knowing that they're trying to phase out the incandescent bulbs, because the incandescent bulbs had their purposes too. You can use them for heating. I've proven it. I do it. And so we don't have to kick old technology to the curb just to get energy efficiency. We can, instead of using big heavy resistive elements to heat our deals, we can use light bulbs to heat it. It's been done. And so the infrared heaters that you see nowadays literally have a element that runs through them, a tungsten element, and it has a quartz ring, a quartz tube that goes across that element, and that quartz heats up and sends out infrared to heat up surrounding objects. And once those surrounding objects get heated up, it's supposed to maintain the temperature at a less amount of energy. And my wife and I have been testing infrared heaters for quite some time now, and we have noticed a decrease in our electric usage. And so once we swap over from the older systems of lighting and do all these things a little bit, at the very least we'll save some money that then I can turn reinvest in, you know, working the way off the power grid and such. So it's not that we don't have the information necessary. It's just about enacting the information, using it, you know, taking these solutions to heart and actually doing something. Start switching your light bulbs over to LEDs. You'll notice a little bit of difference in your bills every month. And the more you get, the more you take off the power grid, you throw your little solar panels up there and some lighting that will charge up during the daytime, and you'll use the lighting at night or whatever. Even maybe run your TVs or small appliances off of solar or whatever. Nonetheless, it's not going to take thousands of dollars worth of investment at first in order to get anything started, and in the long term, it's not going to take thousands of dollars. If you're doing it a little bit at a time, you could. There's solar panel kits out there you can add to. They're the way that they're set up is you can plug them into each other, and you can boost up the voltage until you actually have to get a larger charge controller. And the battery bank, starting off with a small one, taking a few lights off of the power grid, so on and so forth, until eventually you're completely off. And so step by step, you can move your way that way if you really want. You know, you got to see what energy you're using already, see where you want to go with it, and start taking some of these technologies and making it happen. It's that simple, you know. And as far as I'm concerned, if the money's going in your pocket instead of the power company's pocket, they have less control over you. And they might be a little bit more respectful to their customers when their customers fall on hard times. You know, just like the mainstream media going by the wayside, the mainstream power company can follow the same path. You know, right now, you're at the mercy. If you don't pay your bill, they reach over, flip the switch, shut you off. And sometimes with smart meters in cases, they don't even have to come out to do it. They just do it remotely. And so, you know, you got to call them up and try to negotiate terms to get your lights back on. Well, if you own your own power company, then you don't have to worry about that, do you? And that's what I'm fixing to show everybody, how to do that.
That's right. I got a friend with me that told the electric company to bend over after they told him to bend over twice and he didn't like it. So the money he'd spend on the electric bill, he went out and bought solar.
Yeah.
Was that 2 years or 3 years you stayed off grid?
I was off grid 6 years.
6 years. 6 years of being off grid completely.
Well, see, now if he can do it,
his wife had to have a breathing machine apparatus at night. And
she had that for 4 years while we were off grid.
Yep. And it didn't fail. It did him fine, but I know he'll agree with me on one thing: going off grid means sacrifice.
That's right.
It doesn't mean you can use three kilowatts per hour. It just means that you have electricity for your needs. And you find out that a lot of people out here think that it's a big glory thing, but you know what? The deal is, you have what you need. And you might have to pay for batteries and things like that every few years and stuff like that. And it's not going to cost you as much as the electricity from the company. But it's still going to cost you.
Well, sure. It's obviously going to be some investments and some advantages and disadvantages either direction that you go. But nonetheless, you know, if you're taking a little bit off the power grid and you're saving yourself a few bucks, and you got an extra few bucks to buy some necessities that you might need. So, you know, this whole talk about, you know, going off the power grid, huh?
Not really.
You just blow it on something.
you wind up having to blow the money on something else.
I can't.
But it's still when, during the Obama administration, the first 4 years of his administration, they were practicing across the country, cutting your power off for a few hours here and there. And we were fearing that they were going to say, okay, well, after you've used so much, they're just going to shut you off. You know, and that would have ruined a lot of food. But the freedom of getting your own electricity on days where the sun actually shines, and some days it doesn't, and maybe the wind would have to take up the rest of it. But the freedom of knowing when you're going to use the electricity and having it there for yourself, that's kind of worth it.
Well, I can't speak for the responsibility of people and their finances, but what I do know is that energy is free regardless. I don't care how much it costs you to get the machine or, you know, what
money
it takes.
Of it out there.
Once you get those things into place and you maintain them, as far as I'm concerned, it's always going to be a benefit. And if you're not paying near the power light or the bill that you would normally, then and you're thrifty with your money, you could get things accomplished, such as reinvesting that money, extra money, if you just got yourself dedicated to whatever it was that it cost you for your first set of solar panels, and then that money you saved, you put it back until you could afford another one. You know,
that's right.
You could work your way towards it. And my friend right now, he only lives about a mile away from me. If I had a mile of extension cord, I'd plug into his power source, because he's completely off the grid. Runs his entire house and an entire wood shop on nothing but solar panels and wind power. He's got a massive battery bank out there. And he bought the best batteries that, you know, had deep cycle to them and everything, so that they'll hold a lot of power. He runs this house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year on solar and wind power. And the only times he ever has to kick on a fuel generator is on days when it ain't windy and the sun ain't been out for 2 or 3 days. So he knows he's got at least a 3-day window before he's got to kick on that doggone gas generator. And so, you know, his setup, whereas it's probably a lot more expensive than the average Joe can afford, if we design and develop these systems that I'm talking about, generating systems that the engines are working so incredibly efficient that you're focusing that energy where you want it to go, then your average Joe could afford to run an internal combustion engine to turn a generator in. You see what I mean?
That'd be nice. HHO would be a dream. Well, they got a guy out there that collects hydrogen year round.
Not HHO, he separates it.
Yeah, he separates the hydrogen from the oxygen.
All solar powered.
All solar powered.
Well, there you go, man.
That's as good as batteries, and I tell you what, it doesn't wear out near as fast as batteries.
And that
you're off grid, completely off grid, instead of going with a grid tie.
That video,
which grid ties break down as well. But if you're off grid, I tell you what, batteries are one of your biggest costs.
Yeah, but even the battery technology, we already know how to build batteries. You can make batteries so doggone ridiculously easy that are better than the batteries you can buy at the store. And so with that said, worst case scenario, you buy the first set of batteries, and then from that point on, you start manufacturing your own doggone batteries from recycled materials. It's not rocket science. It's really super simple. A guy took a doggone battery that had been sitting out in his yard for 10 years, flushed it out with baking soda, cleaned it all out, and then turned around and put pickling salt in it, charged it up, and went out the next day and started his truck with it. Alright? So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, that's a lump. Pickling a lump.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. I want to do that. I had a dead battery that I was going to do, but basically I had to put it in for a core to get the new one at the time. I'm looking for one more battery to play with, and I want to do that with it. Already located where I can get the food grade alum. You got to get the right kind of alum too.
Oh yeah, I got a whole box of it sitting right here for the apocalypse. If it ever comes to power grid down situation, I'll just take some old batteries and recondition them and use that for my power. And I can understand the concept of being off the power grid and having to make a few sacrifices, because obviously if you ain't got a big enough inverter and everything you need, you're not going to be able to run the energy hog, which is your house, the way you did before. But even to that extent, you still have capabilities of modifying every existing refrigerator, air conditioner, and freezer that you got to get that to run off of less voltage than what it does right now. The biggest hog in your doggone refrigerator is the doggone compressor kicking on and off. Now, if you understand the concept of how heat transfer actually works and how that air compressor actually works, then you can realize that you can redesign that air compressor to where it ain't using so much power in order to be able to... Look at some of these little mini fridges, man. There, you can run these off of small inverter systems. There's no reason why you couldn't use the same kind of technique to run a larger refrigerator. The whole deal is just like that redneck hot tub that I showed everybody on my YouTube channel, is that I wasn't using a big, like a 220 element. I was using a little 110 coffee pot element. So for the price of a coffee pot, I was able to heat up an entire bathtub, big old fiberglass bathtub with no insulation underneath it, and right out there in wide open space with a little coffee pot element recirculating through a water pump that heated that thing up hot enough that I could literally sit out there when there was snow on the ground, snow coming down, in my shorts, and being all warm and comfortable inside that hot tub. So it's not about the amount of energy, it's how you use the energy, and we can redesign our hot water heaters to not use so much doggone power. We can make them efficient. Once you get that up to where you want it, that operating temperature, and all you just gotta keep trickling it in, keep maintaining it. It don't take as much once you get it up to operating temperature. The same concepts could be applied straight across the board, whether it be internal combustion engines or the way that you heat your house. You understand that heat rises and cold air falls, so you put your heat in the floor and you put your air conditioner in the ceiling and you got it made.
You insulate the living fire out of the walls. And
yeah. Well, it looks like we're down to it, Muddy. It's been another fascinating show. What's your friend's name there?
Jim.
Jim, it's nice to meet you, brother.
Yeah, I got
already know who I am.
Yeah, that's right. I think I seen some of your videos.
It's called Off-Grid Forced to be Green.
Yeah.
Check it out. Off-Grid Forced to be Green. You type that in, it'll go straight to my video.
All right, well, throw some links down there in the chat room for everybody so they can see what you're talking about.
You don't have to. I've tried it several times. Just type in Off-Grid Forced to be Green.
Alright, cool. Well, anyway, one of these days we all may be literally forced to be green. But in the meantime, let's strive for perfection and try to get all these brilliant minds to the table, the dream team that I like to call it. I'm telling you, folks, there ain't no doubt in my mind we could take any existing internal combustion engine out there right now and turn it into a steam / air operated. There's no reason why we couldn't take that a step further and modify existing engine blocks and such to be so doggone efficient, ridiculously efficient. Change the way that we put the fuel into the combustion chamber. Change the way that the energy is wasted in the way that design is. We can literally design the perfect, most efficient internal combustion engine that would literally run off water.
I tell you what, for you go out to a truck stop, once in a while you're going to hear something that sounds like a jet engine starting up. And that's a pneumatic starter.
Yeah.
That's a very good air engine right there. And you can actually operate that off of steam if you throw just a little touch of dish soap in your water.
So think about what you just pointed out. A pneumatic motor that is still has enough torque to literally turn over a diesel engine and overcome all the compression necessary to get that diesel up to operating temperature and run.
Yeah, you get an air tank, strap it on the back of your motorcycle, take the engine away, and put that pneumatic motor on that bad boy and fly.
So, there you go, folks. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. If you like what you heard, share it out there on your social media networks. Send a note to your local congressmen and senators and tell them that they're really serious about resolving the whole energy crisis, which it doesn't exist. But nonetheless, I'll still give them all the information I got and help them out. If you're wanting people out there to save the planet, save the trees, and all that kind of stuff, explain to them not to be out protesting Save the Trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign and come over here and talk about some common sense, and we'll tell them how to get results to save the planet that they want. There's ways in which we can literally clean up our environment. We could resolve all the issues out there, such as the Fukushima power plant leak, and if we can get BP to cooperate and stop pouring Corexit in the oil on that, we could probably save some of the fish before it's too late, and that kind of stuff. Now, I don't call it mad science for nothing. I'm sitting here looking at the big picture. I'm stepping back. I'm looking at everything going on out there, and I'm saying, hold on a second. What's going on? This is ridiculous. Ain't no need for all that. And so, if you really...
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.